Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus and the chapter that we read together, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We may take our text, a verse, to center our thoughts in verse 14. Verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Seeking the Lord's help, we seek this morning to bring out some lessons from this chapter and to make application. The Bible opens with the word God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The center of all things. The center of creation. The center of time. The center of providence. The center of the spiritual realm is God. God. Paul says, as he concludes Romans chapter 11, that it is in God that are all things. Through him and to him and for him are all things. It is God that called his people out of Egypt. It is God that enabled them to leave Egypt. It is God that made all things. It is God that made man in his image. It is God that sent a Savior, his Son, for our salvation. Salvation is from God. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. And God's people called there by, God called them by Abram, did he not? And out of him would be a great nation. He was called, and the Lord, through his providence, gave him a son, Isaac. Isaac. That son, who was commanded to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. That very place which God designated to be the place where the temple would be built. Where our Lord Jesus Christ, as the fulfillment of the type of Isaac, was crucified. Isaac, about to be sacrificed. God intervenes. Abraham, Abraham, lift not up thy hand upon thy son. God sends the Lamb in place of Isaac. The covenant people come into being through Jacob's son. And the real start of God's people as a nation is as they come out of Egypt. The law is given to them. Their religious system of sacrifices is imparted to them. And now they are in great straits through the wickedness of man. And shall man's wickedness, shall man's evil have the final say? Indeed, it is not the case. For here in this chapter we see the deliverance of God. The deliverance of God. It is God, I say, who is at the center of all things. My friend, I ask you today, is God at the center of your soul, of your affections? Is it the Lord Almighty, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? Is it He whom your soul loves? Is your life hid with God in Christ Jesus? The Lord was going to bring his covenant people out of Egypt, and at this chapter he is effecting that very work. So firstly, this morning we have the Hebrews leaving Egypt. The Hebrews leave Egypt. And we can note, first of all, Regarding Pharaoh, this is what I would like to draw your attention to under this point. The fact of Pharaoh and his heart. And we read there that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh. Now, my friend, I ask you a question. Does God out of cruelty harden men's hearts? Does he, as it were, push them into disobedience? Does he force them into hell? No, no. Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Lord has to send sinners to hell for their own sin. And Pharaoh here had opportunity to turn to the Lord, as other heathens have done. The gospel came to him. He could have heard the voice of God in those plagues as they ascended in power and severity upon his land and upon his people. He could have turned. He could have repented before the Lord. But he would not. It was his own sin that damned him. And you see, this is the nature of God, that if sinners will carry on in their sinfulness, if they will refuse the invitations of the gospel, year after year after year, if they harden their own hearts, my friends, then the Lord in his justice hardens theirs. He removes his gracious invitations. He may stop through his providence them being brought to the means of grace. So I would say to you solemnly that we are never to despise the preaching of the gospel. Do not harden your hearts, my friends. Oh, years of years of refusing Christ, of not coming to him. Oh, the solemnity of that situation. But here it was with Pharaoh. He was refusing God's invitations. And God in his justice, for he is a just God, hardened his heart. Hardened his heart. Secondly, we see Pharaoh's response to God's people leaving Egypt at verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And so on. To the end of verse 9. Pharaoh changed his mind. He let the people go, but he changed his mind. And this is the state of the wicked. This is what they're like. They say one thing, but they change. They change. The wicked are not reliable. The wicked are like the sea, coming in and out and up and down, churning, churning, churning. My friends, do not put your trust in princes or in the Son of Man, in whose he has just breath. But put your trust in God. And Moses was not to trust Pharaoh's word. Moses was old and wily and experienced. He had learned to trust in God. He wasn't going to bow down to the whim of Pharaoh. He wasn't suddenly going to give up when Pharaoh changed his mind and said, I will go after them. Moses, as we will see, was a man of God. His God was the rock of Israel. And he must be our God too. Pharaoh hated God and his people then. And marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, the Apostle John said. Marvel not if the world hates you. If you're going to be a Christian, count the cost. The world may end your life. The world may do many things to you, as the brethren are suffering in this present world in other countries. There is a price to being a Christian. Sit down and count the cost. Will you pay the price for Jesus Christ. Salvation is free. It is free. But in another sense, it is very costly. If you will have Christ, you must lose the world. If you will have righteousness, you must lose sin. You must. So we must cope with a God-hating world. God's people are not to be kowtowed by a wicked world, as Moses was not diverted by Pharaoh's hatred. But we are to note that Pharaoh here, in his obstinacy and in his wickedness, he was an enemy of God. And we can forget this. There are those who would seek to rewrite Christian marriage, to those who would seek to upturn our Protestant and Christian ways in our nation. And those who do this, they are enemies of God. Those who oppose God's word and his gospel, they are haters of God. And God hates them, and we should take courage that they are living under the eye of God. And they are enemies of God. And God is well able to deal with them, as he did with Pharaoh, as he will do with those who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ and his cause in our own day. So the gospel goes out to the wicked. He goes out to the wicked as it went out to Pharaoh, to turn from sin before it is too late. Why will you die, O wicked soul? But in verse 8, the Lord lets Pharaoh take his course. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. We note that the Lord allows Pharaoh to pursue his people. The Lord here is letting Pharaoh take the course that Pharaoh wanted. The path of disobedience. The path of rebellion. The path of unbelief. And I have to say to you, my friends, beware that the Lord does not let you take your own path. That he does not allow you to, well, this soul is not repenting. This soul is not loving the Lord Jesus Christ. He refuses, or she refuses, to love me and to come to me. I will give this soul up. That's a solemn thing. It's a solemn thing, but it is a thing there delineated in the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, it is said there that the wicked, their foot shall soon slide. Their foot shall soon slide away into hell, for they refuse to repent. That is the teaching of the Scriptures. God, we are told by many, is a God of love. He will not consign any to the pit. He will not allow any to perish. The Bible does not say that, my friends. Their feet shall slide in due time. Pharaoh sliding away into disobedience and rebellion against his Maker. Are you like that? Are you like that? He's letting the apostate church in our own land slide away. It has been remarkable. It has been shocking in these years in both England and Scotland and in these beloved isles to see the church of God slide away. Women in the ministry, sodomites in the ministry. The Lord's letting this church slide away. The Lord calls his people to repentance. He calls his people to godliness. We see the Tron Church in the middle of Glasgow. They're not having this sodomite nonsense. We're coming out. Good for them, we say. We'll stand with them. Beware of apostasy. In church and in state and in your own soul. In verse 9, the slaughter seems certain, does it not? But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them. And overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal-zephon, Egypt. Overtaking God's people. Quite clear, not just a little fright, but the enemy now catching up. This murderous horde, intent on Hebrew blood, were overtaking them. They were now in front. Here was fear for God's people. Here was trouble and strife. Here was seeming disaster. My friends, the Lord allows His church and His people into great straits. You carry on with the world and go with the world and love sin and love pride and vanity and wickedness. Oh, you'll have an easy way through. The easy way to hell. But those who take up the cross, and follow our Lord on the narrow path to heaven, they will have all sorts of troubles and trials and tribulations. Our Lord said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Don't we know it? But He doesn't end there. He says, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? For I have overcome the world. But here they were in great straits. You might be in great straits yourself today. What was to happen? Let us see. Let us see for our encouragement and for our instruction and for the glory of God. God's glory would be displayed if we will fear God and keep His faith as a denomination. If we will look to the Lord and not to men. Jehovah will be our Saviour. Jehovah will honour us. Jehovah will feed us. Jehovah will lift us up. And we can again be like an army, terrible with banners, as the church has been in the past. It is a day of small things. But is not the Lord on the throne? Has He not called us to such a day as this? Indeed He has. We can be tempted with the world. Well, it's an accident. It's just chaos. It's just nonsense to me. What a mess. Oh, let us take ourselves to the Word. Take ourselves to our God and look up. As the people of God were brought into great straits here, so God has brought His own people in this, our own day, to great straits. That His name might be glorified. His name, not our name, not us, not our reputation. Let us be meek like Moses and be nothing, that the Lord would be everything. Thirdly, we see in verses 10 to 12, the people's fear and complaining. The people's fear and complaining. They were flesh and blood like us, brethren. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it being better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Here are God's covenant people. They come to trouble. They come to testing. And what do? Do they fall down on their knees and look to the Lord? No, they do not. What do? They blame Moses. And they blame God. Is that what we do, my friends, in our trouble? Blame our husbands. Blame our parents. Blame our ministers. Blame our elders. blame everybody but ourselves. What is in us? Unbelief. 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 Was Moses like this though? Do we find Moses complaining with the rest? Is he brought down by his people? Is he discouraged? No doubt he was. But he was a man set apart and raised up by God. Here was God's man for the hour of trouble. But shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Do not become bitter in your trials. Beware, the apostle says in Hebrews, beware of the root of bitterness springing up in you, and thereby many be defiled. Many be defiled. Blame our leaders? No. Turn to God? Yes. He is on the throne. God is testing you. He's testing me. Will we win through? Will you win through? Or are you going to down tools? That's enough. That's enough, we say. No, put on the whole armour of God. The shield of faith, that mighty shield. That is what we must have. Have you got your shield today? Will you have it tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday? The shield of faith, whereby ye shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Put on the whole armour of God, my friends. This is not what the people did. It's amazing, you know. It's amazing. All these people coming out of Egypt, seeing the hand of Almighty God plaguing Egypt. Seeing their deliverance through the Red Sea. They walked through dry land with great walls of water on either side. They came through as on dry land. They saw the destruction of their enemies. And what happened? What happened? That generation fell in the wilderness. They fell in the wilderness. So that is what we read of in Psalm 95. They fell in the wilderness. Why? Because of unbelief. Who were the ones that went into the land of Canaan? Those who had faith. How many were they? Not many. Joshua, Caleb, and their families. That is a lesson to us, my friends. By faith. By faith in our God and by His grace, we will win through. What do you value? God's honour or your own? Fourthly, we see God's response. God's response in verses 13 and 14. We know the story well. But is this God our God? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord had raised up a great leader for a great task. This is what God can do, my friends. We see it in Augustine, that great man who defended God's church way back. We see it in John Knox, do we not? You know the stories well. He did not fear the face of any man. We see it in the destruction fathers. We see it in our own fathers. In 2000, we see it amongst ourselves. God raising up men. We will have the Lord to rule over us. Never mind what men say. Whatever they are, whoever they be, we will go the Lord's way. But here, in this great time of God's deliverance for his people, did he leave the people without a leader? Did he leave the people without help? Without wisdom? No. He gave them a leader. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. And even when God's people were about to be murdered in Assyria, after Assyria, the Medes and the Persians under Esther, the book of Esther, that woman, Esther, raised up by the Lord to preserve her people. And Mordecai as well, raised up by the Lord. This is what God can do. Let us plead and cry to God for leaders, for leaders. Here we see in Moses, God's man for the hour. Look at the preparation he underwent. 80 years had passed in his life. 80 years of thoughts and troubles and emotions and observations and thinking and development had passed through that man before the Lord called him, before he went back to Egypt, before he went back to Egypt. What a lesson that is for us. Preparation. He was 2/3 of the way through his life when he was given that great task to do. My friends, do not spurn God's providences. Do not harden your hearts against God when he says, wait, 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 until the hour is ready. Until the hour is ready. You see, this man had faith. He had faith, and faith, amongst other things, it settles a man. It settles a woman. It settles a young person. Faith settles us. He that believeth shall not make haste. Faith settled this man, so Moses did not hold up his hands and say to Pharaoh, take us back to Egypt. No. God was at work in this man, and he had been for many a year. What an event that was when Moses saw that burning bush and God spoke to him. Moses, Moses, if God calls you to a task, he will give you grace, he will give you assurance for such a work. When the Lord showed him that staff that was in his hands, that it could by God's power become a serpent, and could become a staff again. Moses was given God's signs because he needed that assurance that here was God whom he was serving. So now he comes to the hour of trouble. And so now by faith he is settled in that work that God had called him to do. Do we not see a faint reflection of this at the beginning of the Second World War with Winston Churchill? He had been, and we could well understand that he was no believer, although he had an understanding of the Old Testament, but not much of the New. And with all his faults and failings, God called that man to be Prime Minister in 1940. And he was not a young stripling of 25 or 35. Not at all. He was getting on in years. And experience had taught him. Experience had prepared him. So he could say to his people, and he could announce to the empire, when the Nazis were across the channel, when they were threatening with their murderous tanks and their men and their aeroplanes, he said, we shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them in the cities, we shall fight them in the towns. We shall never, ever give up. This is what God can do. Now, Winston Churchill, as we've said, he was no great godly man. We do not know of his state. He certainly made no great profession of godliness. But if God can raise up a man like that to do such a work, in such a time, can he not raise up a similar man of greater stature, of greater faith and godliness in his church? For such an hour of trouble that we are coming to in our own world, in our own Western Hemisphere. It is by faith. It is by faith that Moses went through that trial. It is by faith that he could cope with the stresses and pressures. Fear is a great problem for us, is it not? Of all of us. But take away fear. Take away fear. Then we are ready to serve the Lord. What did we read in Proverbs 29 and verse 25? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Leaders face great trials when they go God's way. Leaders expect severe trials. Severe trials. But is not the Lord on the throne? God did not fail Moses. But Moses, right at the end, in the wilderness, that's what he did. He failed God. He failed God. He struck the stone when the people angered him, instead of speaking to it. But in verse 14, we see that the Lord was their God. The Lord was their God. He was their covenant God. He had covenanted with them. He was Jehovah. He is Jehovah to us. The covenant-keeping, majestic, glorious God. We are the Lord's people if we are saved. And so He has covenanted with us. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? That is a testimony of our covenant-keeping God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In eternity, He planned this mighty deliverance at the Red Sea. In eternity it was planned. And your deliverance in your trials, your deliverance in your troubles, and His way out through you, for you, has been planned in eternity. So look to the Lord. Now the unconverted, the Lord is not on their side, but He is against them. They are not covenanted people. They are not the friends of God, but the enemies of God. The unconverted, oh, what a terrible state to be in. And the devil lulls you to sleep. And the world lulls you to sleep. In sleepy, warm churches, sleeping away into hell. And I say to you, repent of unbelief and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in the Exodus this great leaving of God's people and coming to faith, well, some at least, through this deliverance. And this is a picture, this is a type of Christian conversion. The coming out from the world, the coming out of the treasures and flesh pots and vanities of Egypt. Through crisis to salvation in the Lord. Exodus. If you had your Exodus, leaving the city of sin, fleeing to Christ. Fleeing to Christ who is the Prince of Life. And fifthly and finally, we see God works. God works. In these last few verses, it's a good long section, but we see there in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And so on. We know the story well, my friends. There is a time to stop praying, but not completely. As we go forward, and as we must go forward in our work for the Lord as individuals, as families, as a congregations, as denominations, as the worldwide church of God, we go forward in prayer, with prayer. We cannot go forward unless we have prayer with us. Paul says, pray incessantly. Pray incessantly. Pray without ceasing, he says. The rod of God for us is trusting in God and holding to His revealed will in the Scriptures. Are we people of the book, my friends? Are we people that fear the God of this book? Forward by faith. Wait on the Lord. Yes, but be prepared to go when He directs. And in verse 17 we see that God is well able to deal with His enemies. Is He not the Lord? He dealt with this terrible enemy 3,500 years ago. And we just have to wait until God's enemies will fall. We see our nation, particularly in the south, dominated by Roman Catholic councillors and MPs. We see in our nation just 2 years ago of how the Pope and his entourage thought that he could get away, and it seems that they have. How he thought that he could get away with having John Knox going on before the Popemobile. As if John Knox loved the Pope when he was alive. Whoa. We see the Church of Rome in great power, but Babylon will fall, the Scripture says, and all her daughter harlots with her. And those who turn aside in the Church of God to the Church of Rome will not prosper. And the media are always saying, this person's a Catholic, and this person's a Catholic, and that person's a Catholic. Why do not they say, this person is a Roman Catholic? They are followers of Roman doctrine. They are followers of the Roman Mass and the Roman Antichrist. Ooh, they know that would begin to raise hackles amongst the Scots and the English and the Welsh and not a few Irishmen. Beware of that old enemy. God can deliver us out of compromise if we have a heart for Him. Do you have ears for God or for yourself? And in verse 20 we see the Lord is darkness to His enemies. What a truth that is. The Lord, my friends, still is darkness to His enemies. Men fear the dark. Men fear the dark. But He is light to us if we are His true church. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Verse 21, we have such a God. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back. Is that our faith in this God? We have a Lord who can part the Red Sea. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is the arm of the Lord shortened that it cannot save? I leave those questions with you. We see God's enemies being drowned. And I would say to you, it's a terrible thing that you know you are about to die. I had a tooth out the other day and it wasn't a very nice experience waiting in the waiting room to have with a numbed gum have my tooth out. Well, that's nothing compared to waiting to die and waiting to go to hell. That's what you will do if you are not a Christian. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why will you die? The Lord doesn't rejoice in your damnation. The Lord doesn't rejoice at your being set aside on His left hand. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He cried, did He not, over Jerusalem? He cried over them. This is the condemnation, He said, that light is come into the world and men love darkness. And He said, you will not come to me. You will not come to me that you have life, that you may have life. You may come, but you will not. You should come. You must come. But you will not. But will you? Will you? And in the last three verses, we see God's true church preserved by the Lord. That is it. All through thick and thin. Through thick and thin, the Lord's true cause will be maintained. However hard they persecute the true Christian, however hard they put pressure on the true church of God, God's true church fed by true godly grace from heaven, from the living and almighty God, He will sustain us. He will lift up our heads. That is the path we should go. The path that Moses went. The path that the people went. But let us not be like them, my friends, and fall in this wilderness through unbelief. But may the Lord add His blessing to these thoughts, and to Him be all the glory, the honor, and the praise.